The process of writing music is tricky. Sometimes songs come out almost instantly, but other times, songs can take a long time to develop.
Today, rhythm and blues musician Earth St. James joins us to talk about his musical journey, from his early inspiration from the Spice Girls to the trickiness of writing songs about people you're currently in a relationship with.
Listen as Earth gets down with us about growing up on Chicago's West Side, being a gay youth group with the Vixen from RuPaul's Drag Race, and unwrapping the complexities of tone policing.
Plus, the urban legend that says RuPaul secretly has a wife and kids.
Memories pizza who?
And Uranus really stinks.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Before we begin, let's listen to Earth St. James' single, WCKFA.
That cause everybody move to the back of the bus. Do you wanna pump and smile with us? Gotta act to get to meet the girls. Push that cause everybody move to the back of the bus. Gotta act to get to meet the girls. We can't keep fucking around. You know it's true. Fuck you around and we got you involved. What are we gonna do?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine,
good falsetto.
10,
good falsetto, Fouls.
11, 12.
So I call them Fouls. And every time I call them Fouls,
really?
He's like, please give me my
there's
Steno.
An O at the end.
Right. I'm like, hey, Fouls.
You're just like, the O's is just too much work.
It's too much. You know what I mean?
You got to just make it, you know. I absolutely love this man. Our guest today is musician Earth St. James.
Yes.
A talented vocalist from Chicago's West Side, lover of music, soul, and performance.
Yes.
So good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. Tell
me
about the song WCKFA that we just heard.
Yeah, it stands for... Can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It stands for We Can't Keep Fucking Around. So basically.
Why not?
You know what I mean? I just felt like I didn't want to actually put that as a title. First of all, it's too long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, let me kind of just shorten it out. So basically, it's talking about having relations.
Fucking.
with a friend.
Yeah.
You know, and
friends
like I said,
benefits.
You know, friends with benefits. But when you hear the song, it kind of says, first it was a casual thing.
Okay.
Then it turned to more than a fling.
Mm.
Upstairs in the bedroom, banging on the walls. So that's really what the song is about. It's just, you know.
This is based on real life experience.
This is real life.
Yeah. And so, did you write the song after you broke up with your friend, or did you?
This is actually while we were still friends.
Oh. So you were best friends with somebody.
Yes.
And then you decided to do the nasty.
Yes.
The beautiful. Let's not call sex the nasty.
Well, people call it the nasty.
They call let's it, call know, it whatever. The beautiful, baby.
It's. How did that come about? Were you guys just partying drunk or something? You're just like, well, why not?
I think we had always been attracted to each other.
Yeah.
And I think we just never had, we never had the right environment.
Okay.
To do it. I feel like, you know, because I was still living at home with parents and he was living at home and we just didn't have, you know.
And so why was it just a friendship and not a romance? This went on for a while, right?
Yeah. It went on for a while. But I think we have been friends for so long, you know what I mean, since we were in high school.
Mm.
And, like, when you're friends with somebody, you know the ins and outs of somebody. And you know how they are. You know how if they're a serial cheater.
Mm-hmm.
You know stuff like that. So my thing is, I wouldn't dare say, hey, let's be in a relationship because I know how you are in a relationship.
So you knew the ins and outs of this person before in and out of this person.
Yes, yes, basically. Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Did your friend listen to the song?
When I was still writing it, yeah. And it was like in the rough stages, they heard it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? I just want to, because I didn't want to just put it out, even though I'm not saying anybody's name. I'm not saying anything that kind of lets you know who they are. But I still wanted to be like, okay, look, out of respect for you, this is what I'm about to release.
Does he feel like you're putting him on blast?
No, because I don't think he felt like that.
Yeah.
But I do think that he felt that, he told me, he was like, it's your truth. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's your truth.
So
he's like,
respected it.
That's what he said. He's like, I respect it because it's your truth. He was like, and I understand you he understands me as an artist. Mm. And that, you know, I don't write about anything I don't know, or I don't feel, or I don't see. Like I said, I couldn't dare write about how it feels to have a period because I'm not a female. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? I don't know that.
I'll tell you what, it hurts real bad.
You know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying? But I think that he respected that about me. He was like, I was like, this is what it is. And he was like, okay.
And so what had the relationship end? What happened?
He did not call me on my birthday.
Oh, the monster.
So you were hurt.
He did not call me on my birthday, and he did not even... And honestly, as of now, I feel like as we get older, I'm not going to remember everybody's birthday. Mm. I'm not going to remember that. So I get that. I get that. You know what I mean? Like, but if we've been friends for 10 plus years, at least know when it's around my birthday. So even if you were like... 2 days late or a week late. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Shit happens.
Well, you know, my birthday was just recently. You didn't say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Happy belated, fellas. Happy belated, fellas.
We are through.
Happy belated. My bad. But you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like, you know, with that, it's like, what happened? You know what I mean? Like,
you felt like he was emotionally disconnected from you at that point in time.
And that's, I didn't think so.
The birthday was kind of a symptom of that.
But I feel like, you know, we've always been good at, you know, happy birthday, let's go out, let's hang out. And then for you not to just acknowledge me at all. And then when I say, hey, what I did was I just stopped talking. Yeah. So he was texting, he was calling, and I wasn't responding because I was in my feelings. And then we had a discussion, and it was just like, you know, he was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm like, okay, cool. Like,
so, I was so nonchalant. So you had still been fucking at this point?
No.
Then. No.
By that point, you know, honestly, and after he heard the song, the demo, we didn't even.
Oh, it killed his boner for you.
Maybe that's what it was.
He didn't like the song.
Maybe. No, I mean, no. He like, he was like, it's groovy. You know what I mean? Like, if you guys heard it, it's very 1970. I really love your
aesthetic sensibility. You and I like share so much in common in that way. It's like, I love that sort of Barry White 1970s soul.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm a young cat out here in the game, but I'm still an old soul. You know what I'm saying? I'm 28, but I feel like I'm still, you know what I mean? Like, I love 70s music. I love just that whole...
Pussy begging music is what Mark calls it. It's like, baby, I need you tonight. Yeah.
I mean, I love that whole era of music. So I sampled that from Roy Ayers. It's actually, have you ever heard the song, Scooby-Doo, run? So I sampled it from that and kind of just rode to that. So, yeah.
Now, your name has a British pound symbol in the beginning of it. Is that like a Kesha in a sense? Like, so it's pound. How do I pronounce your name? It's Earth.
Like,
it is planet, Earth St. James.
Earth.
Yes. Pound symbol A-R-T-H.
So no A.
Pound symbol R-T-H-E.
Yeah. So can I give a little backstory? So I used to, in high school, freshman year, I was in science class and they were talking about Mother Earth and all of those. And I'm like, and at that point I was a really earthy type of person at 14. I NDRE.
You're a hippie and teenager.
You know, for real. Yeah. NDRE had just came out. Well, not had just came out, but I was really inspired by NDRE. And she was really like this eccentric, acoustic, just love yourself. So I was really into that. And so they was talking about Mother Earth. I was like, you know what? I'm going to call myself Father Earth. This is like 14. I was like, I'm calling myself Father Earth. So I had wrote Father Earth on a binder. And then one of my friends was like, Father Earth. He was like, it sounds like you're trying to be God.
Oh.
I was like, ooh, okay. Yeah. So I'm going to do Brother Earth.
Okay.
So all through high school, it was Brother Earth. Brother Earth. And then once I got to college, I was like, you know, I like Brother Earth, but I want something a little bit more mature. So I was like, Earth. And my last name is James. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I definitely want to keep the Earth. So I was like, Earth James. I'm like, I don't know. That has a ring. But I was like, Earth St. James. I'm like, okay.
Like your favorite malt liquor.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, that has a nice ring to it. So I was like, okay, cool. So I'll do Earth St. James. So that's how the name came about. Mm-hmm. Now the British pound sign, that was really to add effect to it. And then my idea of thinking was, I don't want to just be a national artist or a Chicago artist. I want to be international, make the international money. And then like the British
pounds are 2-to-1 to American dollars.
Yeah.
And then why be a Kesha when you can be a pound show?
You know, hello, how you doing? You know, so with the British currency sign, and also looks like an E, you know,
American Express will do nicely. Thank you. Dutch marks or dollars, honey. As long as I can put it in the bank, I will accept it.
Now, as far as the spelling, like when I say Earth, I don't hear an A. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me just take the A out. And I didn't want to do E-R-T-H. So let me just add a little E at the end, just for decorations. So the E is really decorations.
You know that? Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers?
Yes. Foster's pronouncing it like Eartha Rogers.
Right, Eartha Saint. Like, no. Like,
is he an Eartha Kitt fan like you are?
Look, my best friend now, he calls me Eartha. Like, whenever he texts me, he's like, hello, Eartha. I'm like, hello.
Well, I heard a story that Fred Rogers, he took out the D out of his name. Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to make his name easier for kids to spell.
So it was like F-R-E?
And he got a little threatened by the Rod in Rogers.
Rod.
He didn't like the big D sitting out there.
He's just like, there's nothing wrong with
that's
the big D.
That's a story
he
about that.
His name.
Nothing wrong with the big D.
No.
And so you said that the Spice Girls actually inspired you to get into music.
Well, not... Yeah. I will say that. So I've always sang.
Yeah.
I started singing in the church when I was 5.
As every good pop star does.
You know, every R&B or so artist or pop star is always the church is the foundation. So I started singing in church, and I was really into, like, Kirk Franklin, like a lot of gospel artists. Then Erykah Badu came out in 1997, around the same time the Spice Girls came out. I really wasn't into Badu, but I was like, I like this sound. I like that.
You're
but,
like 7 or 8 at this point.
Yeah, so at this point, I'm 8. I'm 8. In 1997, I'm 8. So when the Spice Girls came out, I was just like, I've never heard anything like this. Like, I love it. And in elementary school, I was the only black kid, only black male kid that was, you know, listening to the Spice Girls. And you know, and like to this day.
I mean, everybody must have known you were gay then, right?
These
kids listening to the Spice Girls gotta be gay.
You know, people just accepted me. Like, I was cool with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, they probably knew. You know what I mean? I mean, in high school, I mean, in elementary school, I mean, I was teased, but my auntie shut that down real quick. She was like, no, ma'am, we're not having that. So, it was all right.
She shut down the bullies? Or?
The bullies.
What did she say to them?
So, like, it was this one bully. I remember his name. His name was Philip Phillips. His name was Philip Phillips.
Where is he now?
I have no idea, but he used to bully me on the bus. I was bused to school, and I went to Walt Disney Magnet School, which is actually on the north side. So, but I'm on the west side, so I have to be bused to school. So he would bully me, and I told her she came on the bus, and at this time he had to be like 6th or 7th grade. She came on the bus, grabbed him by the collar, and was like,
Jesus.
You will not, you know, talk to my nephew, you know, like, leave him alone. Like, the bus driver was like, ma'am, you can't do that. But after that, it was no more problems.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
Yeah.
It takes a village.
God bless her.
So, yeah, but the Spice Girls, I was just, like I say, I was telling you, even to this day, when I see Mel B or the Spice Girls or Victoria, I light up. You know what I mean? At 28, I'm still
they're getting back together, aren't
you know,
they?
And I'm excited about that.
Has the tour been announced, or what's going on?
They keep trying to keep it on the radar, but I think that it's coming. It's coming. I missed the tour in 2007, 2008. I missed that reunion tour. So
will you be going to this one?
I don't know. It depends. If it's in Chicago, then I'm not going to fly out for it. Now, I'm you know, I love them, but I'm not going to fly out to see them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like some people, like I, you know, they fall in love with a musician or an entertainer, and yeah. they'll go broke.
Oh yeah, I'm not a stan. I'm not a Beyonce stan. You know what I mean? I'm not a Spice Girl stan. Well, I'm going to go broke for it. Now, if they were to come to Chicago. You know what I mean? I don't mind sitting in the back. I don't mind sitting
in
the nosebleeds.
Did you see Beyonce's Coachella performance?
I saw the first one.
Is on Pornhub. And what is it? They were like thick, black.
I saw that. I saw that hashtag.
Entire lineup or something.
I saw that. I was on click on. I was like, I don't want to waste my time. I need the real shit. You know, so, yeah.
So you're working on an album, and tell me more about the sort of your songwriting process right now, because I'm trying to rope you into writing a song for me.
Yes. Yes.
Which was called My Wig's Too Tight. My Wig's Too Tight. Yes. Been up all night. Don't want to fight. Hey, but it's not right.
Hey, yes.
I think, you know, if we can't make it a hit, we could try to sell it to the Vixen.
Yes.
The
Vixen can do something with it. Well, yeah. My songwriting process is very tedious. As I gotten older, it's very tedious. It takes me a while. Not a while, but it takes me... Yeah, a while to kind of, you know, get a song together. But it also depends on what the song is about.
Why are you with your instrument and you're just kind of like writing song lyrics? Or are you just like, because you're, you know, you're very knowledgeable about audio engineering and recording.
Yeah.
So I was wondering maybe like you start electronically and then go into the physical spacer.
It always starts with music or instrumental or, you know what I mean? GarageBand has been my friend. For the past few years, you know what I mean? Like, I've wrote so many things on my phone and using GarageBand on the phone.
Yeah, I think you can, like, open up the phone and, like, it has a guitar on it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, GarageBand on the phone is just, is this the best thing since sliced bread? You know what I mean? It's just, I can just kind of work on the music on the go. But, you know, as I've gotten older, just the writing process is very tedious. Sometimes a song comes to me within 15 minutes. Sometimes it comes to me in 3 months, 6 months, a year. Like, I have a song I've been working on for a year. And what I do is, like, I'll add something to it, and then I'll leave it alone, let it breathe, come back to it, leave it alone for a few more months, a few weeks, come back to it. You know what I mean? So I never, like, I don't want to rush any of the music, because I feel like when you rush it,
sure,
the fans know, or the people, the listeners know when it's rushed. So I always try to be just kind of
work fast food.
I don't.
It's a gumbo. It's a slow cooking meal.
Slow cook.
And you know, the funny thing is that Hedwig and the Angry Inch, you know, from John Cameron Mitchell. Mm-hmm. This is the craziest thing that I heard. All those songs were written in 1 week.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just cranked them out.
Mother, and if you could do that, then that's cool. Yeah. If you could do that, that's cool. You know
what
I mean?
How cool is it? Like, with your phone?
Right.
That sounds like Trixie Mattel.
Yeah. Spare parts.
That's not really good. That's not really good. Now, we can record that.
Yeah. It was like, see, it just had a little guitar on it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So GarageBand is like, you know, it's heaven sent. So I've written a lot of songs on GarageBand, or through GarageBand, and recorded a lot of things through GarageBand. But I don't know. I'm still analog. I know we're in a digital world, but I'm still analog. I still like pen and paper and just writing it down and scratching it out and adding more to it. You know what I mean? So that's why it's taking me so long to write this album or to record the album. It's because I don't want to rush anything, because I feel like even though I'm an artist, I'm still a listener. Mm-hmm. And I can tell when you've rushed something and when it's not pure and when it's not genuine. And I don't want to give that impression. So,
although part of it is, so like, I like songs that are sort of written with a funny time. Like, Paul McCartney's Yesterday.
Yeah.
He started the song as a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
A song called Ham and Eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Ham and eggs.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Ham and eggs. You know.
Yeah.
And people are like, that's actually a pretty song.
Sometimes they're like, I have a song called When I Get My Money. And when I really, when I first wrote the song, it really was kind of like that. Like the Paul McCartney just being a fun, just whatever. But I feel like it's really turned into something beautiful. And it was just talking about, you know, because I was in college when I wrote it, and I was broke, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. When I get my money, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, and I'm going to shop, and I'm going to buy Vera Wang and Ralph Lauren. I'm just going to do all this stuff, you know, when I get my money. But the song has really resonated with a lot of people because mm-hmm. they're like, you know, I feel that. I feel that. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that. I have the same feeling. So, you know, sometimes those type of songs are, and I wrote that song actually in one night. So that's what I'm saying. You know, some songs come in one night. Some songs come over 3 months. Some songs come in a year. You know, it just depends on, you know, how I feel.
And you can check out more of Eartha. Sorry.
Eartha. Come on, Fouls. Come on now.
Sorry that Eartha just keeps coming out because I think your name is perfect. It's Eartha hyphen ST hyphen James on SoundCloud.
Yes.
You go to soundcloud.com/Eartha St. James.
Your Eartha Kitt is beautiful.
You know, her daughter said that I'm the best Eartha Kitt impersonator.
Do
she's
you roll?
Ever heard.
Do you, can you roll with it? You gotta practice.
I can do the Spanish growl, right, which is
yes,
but that's not what Eartha did. She did a growl.
Okay.
I just don't have the voice box to do it, but I'm afraid that my voice is not much left. Did you think that the grave could stop me? Well, you were wrong. Dead wrong.
I love it.
So that's Kit Shapiro.
Yes.
Came on the show, a daughter, and yes. I did that for her, and I almost was going to be like, I'm going to be haunting you from the grave. And she said that actually that's, of all the people she's ever heard imitate her mother.
Yes.
And I think she was kind of being generous.
I think you do a pretty good impersonation.
I agree.
Actually not trying right now. I can actually, like, record my voice to sound exactly like Eartha Kitt.
Was it like, I'm not wearing any panties, Marcus.
You know, that's the only reason to watch Boomerang.
For that line.
Yeah.
That's the best line.
Well, just the whole...
Who's watching for Eddie?
Well, but you're also watching it for Strange, right?
Oh, Grace Jones.
Yeah,
Grace
Jones is fantastic.
That movie is one of those Grace underrated...
Jones. It's a terrible movie, but Grace Jones is wonderful in it, and so is Eartha Kitt.
Yes.
Those are the only... If you edited everything else out, you'd be like, I like this movie.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Do you have, like, any kind of divas that sort of a... Like, for me, it's like, Eartha Kitt, so much, I relate to much her life story and her music and her sensibility.
Yeah.
Is there somebody like that for you that you just feel like have informed you as an artist throughout your years?
Badu, Erykah Badu.
Mm-hmm.
She's really kind of influenced me just as an artist. Let me take that back. As a performer, just watching her and studying how she walks on stage, how she stands there and poses, how she commands the stage, and how she, you know what I mean? So Badu has really been like, I'm inspired by so many people, but I think she's been the biggest influence for me.
Because she commands attention.
You know what I mean?
With her poise.
Just the poise and just, you know what I mean? Just,
she's very aristocratic in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. Just the mystique about her. And that's why now
she's
just
not
like,
goofy.
But she is.
There's some way
she's very comical and goofy. But what I think now is I'm more attracted to her before social media.
Mm.
As well as with any artist.
You feel like social media gets you to know them too much?
Too much. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm on the cusp of social media and before social media. I'm 28. But I still remember when we didn't have cell phones, when there was no internet, when there was no social media. But then I know it. I know how to navigate social media so well. But I still remember when it was like when you didn't know about an artist or their personal life. And then when they did let you in a little bit, it was like, ooh.
And the rest, you can kind of fill in the blanks.
Exactly. But I feel like now, it's just everything is out there. And it's like, there's no mystique about you anymore.
Mm. Well, it feels messy.
You know what I mean?
It feels like it's all over. It's like Tyra Sanchez threatening to blow up DragCon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes it's good that people don't have a platform to be able to voice their frustrations in a way that's destructive.
Yeah. And I think I'm in that crossroads.
Yeah.
Me as an artist, it's like, because I know now with social media, you have to post, you have to. But sometimes I don't have shit to say. I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to post.
You just have to make stuff up or pick fights with people.
You get what I'm saying?
Really,
it's like, that's not me. Like, if I don't have anything to say, I'll just
call people out. You're like, what are people upset about today? I need to make a statement.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, no. You don't.
It's like, you don't. You don't. And but I feel like, you know, maybe sometimes I enjoy the mystique about it. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. Remember when you watch like a 90s sitcom and they would take you behind the scenes for a show like Fresh Prince or Martin or things like that. They would take you behind the scenes. I those are my favorite episodes because it was like, man, like I'm really getting a chance to see the behind the scenes. So I enjoyed that. But it was only that one little part of the show. I don't know.
It didn't
so,
pop the bubble of mystery.
Exactly.
It just expanded upon
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It was like a little bit of intrigue, but not like overwhelming.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It made me more intrigued to kind of know more. But I feel like now it's like with social media, you know everything about the artist. So it's like, oh, whatever.
Well, that's a kind of a criticism people have of the Chicago drag queen scene. They feel that a lot of the queens spend more time on Facebook and Instagram sort of criticizing each other or belittling or tone policing each other, as opposed to like focusing on their performance and their artwork.
Right.
And it, you know, you and I are old friends or, you know, acquaintances with the Vixen.
Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah.
For years. You guys were in an after school program or
so it wasn't an after school program, but it was a it was a youth organization called the Youth Pride Center who was led by Frank Walker. And basically, it was like kind of like the first of its kind in Chicago. I mean, you had like the Howard Browns and the Center on Halsted. You had that, but
what about the Broadway Youth Center?
Broadway Youth Center. You had that.
Horizons.
But
they used to be next to those flotation sensory deprivation.
Right.
Tanks.
Right. But Frank and the YPC. I feel like for blacks and for black people, like that was like our thing because Howard Brown and Youth Pride Center and all these other things. I'm not a Youth Pride Center, excuse me. Center on Halsted. You had, I mean, it was mixed, but for YPC, it was really just focused on just black gay youth and kind of empowering us. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I met a lot of like my best friends. Like I met them through YPC, and we have like a 10+, 12+ year relationship because of YPC. So I knew Tony through that, and we had mutual friends. I'm sorry, the Vixen through that, and we had mutual friends. And I've kind of watched him.
So one thing that we knew Vixen when we first met her at an HRC gala dinner, where she was paraded as a
recipient to a scholarship that actually had no money.
Wow.
And she had to drop out of college because she didn't have the funds
and
to go.
It seemed like what they call like a dog and pony show. It was like they were just parading her in front of affluent people being like, look, we're giving this scholarship to this young, disenfranchised black person. Like, aren't we wonderful? But then you read the fine print, there's no money attached to it. So what is that?
Right.
It's nothing.
Right.
Tony and he got a free meal for himself and his mother, and that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like I'm really excited and happy that she's had the success of getting on Drag Race because it's...
Me too. Me too.
It's something, you know, and at the same time, it's like there's so much potential for so many gigs that can be squandered because you come across as a difficult person on the show.
Yeah.
Even when you're on the right side of the argument.
I think with Tony, though, I'm sorry, with the Vixen, her name is Tony. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just, okay. I think that everything she's getting, she deserves. She deserves everything. And I only said it because I've seen people who haven't put in the work. Tony has put in the work. She has done show after show after show. And she's always been innovative, always been, you know, just kind of ahead of her time as far as what she's doing. You know what I'm saying? And people might laugh at her. People might, you know what I mean? But she's put in the work. And I am so proud of her. And I'm so, you know, I'm so happy, you know, for this opportunity she's getting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And I think, you know, so right now with Tyra Sanchez's quarrels with A World of Wonder and Vixen and the Tony, you know, there's a lot of discussion about tone policing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to confuse. I feel like, you know, World of Wonder with Tyra Sanchez, they have not handled that well.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is because it's like the Tyra feels like she's having to turn to social media to voice her dissatisfaction, and they're not really having a relationship with their own contestants after the show's done.
Right.
And that's something we hear a lot of common and from people who've had that experience on Drag Race is that once they're off the show, they're pretty much like, they don't ever hear about them again.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you know, what do you expect the show to do for you? I mean, that you come on the show, do you expect them like, I mean, it's 8 years later, right?
Right.
The Tyra, you right. know, it's like, are they still supposed to be holding her hand? She shouldn't be, you know, standing on her own.
Yeah. I mean, what you have to do, I mean, you have to take your opportunity and run with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you have the platform on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't expect, okay, like you said, 8 years later to still, you know, kind of have them holding your hand. Like, you got to just take the opportunity and seize it and kind of just, you know.
And I think she's been doing that to some degree. You know, mm-hmm. it's just that there's so many drag queens right now that the competition is higher than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And imagine how hard it is for someone who's not on that show, for somebody who's on it and has been a winner. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult to have gotten so well paid that first year, and now today it's like you start lamenting for the past.
Maybe it has something to do with your personality yeah. and just how you treat people. You know what sure. I mean? Like, we had the conversation before this, and you were telling me, you know, what she, you know, what I mean, what she was saying and stuff like that on social media, like
fighting with people, you know, or threatening to harm.
You know what
them.
I'm saying? Like, even though you have this platform, you have to stay humble. You have to stay humble. You know what I'm saying? You attract more bees with honey than vinegar, as they say. You know what I'm saying? So,
but isn't that like tone policing? It's like, shouldn't we be like, should we be giving feedback to what a black person is saying when they're angry and frustrated and upset?
What do you mean?
By telling somebody, well,
there's,
like,
there's been a lot of discussion about sure. you know how like Vixen interacted with Eureka and being like talking about the, like, you know, quit trying to police her tone, and this is the way she wants to express herself, let her express herself. You know, if this person was white, would you be saying the same thing? And so I asked one of my friends, a person of color, I'm like, is it tone policing to wonder like to tell Tyra Sanchez that maybe you shouldn't be saying you're going to blow up the LA Convention Center?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean it's a difference from expressing right. yourself and just totally just being mm-hmm. just disrespectful and just, you know, being violent. I mean, that's a big difference. You know what I mean? Like, when you get to the point where you're being violent and you're saying, and you're threatening people, that's a whole different thing. Mm. You get what I'm saying? And you know what I mean? And, like, I don't take liking to that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that if the police is there, they need to be there. Because you never know what people are capable of doing now.
Mm. You never know. Well, show business is the art sometimes. It's like politics. You have to sort of align and acknowledge people's distress, even when they're coming for you.
Correct.
Correct. And it's not an easy place to be when right. you don't have the resources, you don't have the support to sort of, you know, heal. Like, I have Mark mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, my friends and family, and I have a very strong support network.
Yeah.
I can imagine that for some people, I don't know what Tyra's support network is, but if she feels isolated or alone, it's not easy being a single father. Mm. And, you know, mm. just the burden of trying to raise a child also on top of being a touring drag queen, that I can imagine is not an easy place to be.
Yeah.
I don't believe she's a single dad.
Oh, she's not.
She's raising the child.
Okay. No. Well, I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. that was, she raised money for a documentary mm-hmm. based on that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I don't know what okay. came of it, but you were, on a funnier note, you were, RuPaul right now is at the Time 100. hanging out with celebrities.
Yes.
Wearing her Vanjie necklace.
Wearing her Miss Vanjie necklace. And you were saying before we started taping that there used to be a rumor that RuPaul was married to a woman and had children.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Well, how did you hear this and when? Because this is the first time I've ever heard this.
That's hilarious.
We're talking to Lady Bunny tomorrow. I'm going to ask her about that.
Yes, I mean, I don't know who, I forget who told me this. Mm-hmm. I forget what happened, but I just remember, and it's always stuck in my head. Like, I wouldn't say anything just to say it. Like, it's always stuck in my head that RuPaul was married to a woman, had kids, but he just did drag and he was good at it and he made money from it.
This is an urban legend.
It's an urban legend. Like I said, it's not urban itself, but that's just everything that I've always heard. So when I was told that he had a husband, I was like, oh, okay. Gotcha. Cool.
Husband and a wife.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Nancy mm-hmm. drew
like
this
said,
down.
It might not be true. Like said, I'm
it's
just,
probably not true, but I want to know where this urban legend came from.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And part of it is like RuPaul's such a successful entertainer.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I heard it one time, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I think it was on TV, though. I think it was on TV, like, maybe, like, one of those old-school MTV or VH1 shows.
Maybe she said it as a joke or something like that.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Exactly.
Seriously,
exactly.
They're just like, I can't imagine somebody being gay, so.
Exactly, exactly. Like, maybe so.
So Adam Rippon, Olympian, yeah. Adam Rippon was at the Time 100, and he was like, go around trying to meet everybody, and saw RuPaul, and he's like, my queen. And yeah. Started bowing down, yeah. And RuPaul's like, get up. Yeah. It's like, don't do this.
Maybe RuPaul is legendary. Mm. She is legendary. I still remember when I went, Supermodel, come on, girl. Like, I was.
Do a twirl.
You know what I mean? Like, I forget. It was like 90 what? 92? So yeah. I was like 4 or 5. And I remember at that age, you know, like.
You heard that song when you were that young?
Yeah, like grooving to it. But, like, my aunt, like, she was very. You know, don't act gay, I remember she put a, I don't need any sympathy, but like she put like a, it was like a letter on the refrigerator. It was like.
In your house.
Yeah. They used to call me Dee Dee. So it was like, if Dee Dee acts like a girl, I get to smack him upside the head.
Oh my God.
And like, but you know, and but luckily my grandma was like, take that shit down. Like, what are you doing? Like my grandma's girl, like she came to my defense, but it was just like, I was always just, you know what I mean? Like intrigued. So I remember hearing that song and being like, yeah.
I remember when I was singing as a teenager, and my sister's like, boys don't sound, you sound like a girl.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, but I want to sing Xanadu.
Yeah. Do you do drag?
I do not.
You would be real prick.
Do not. I'm not interested.
You have a good face for it.
Thank you.
You have big open eyes.
Thank you.
And that's always a plus.
Thank you. But I don't want to shave my beard. My beard is my pride and joy.
Honey.
Just keep it.
Just keep the beard.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you saw what I look like. I mean, I know.
I was so gorgeous, you almost fell in love.
I did. You're right, I did. I was like, damn.
Every time I show photos of myself in drag, I tell people, it's like, do not fall in love. This is just an illusion.
Yeah, it will break your heart.
Exactly. This woman does not exist in real life.
I'll be honest with you. I thought about doing like Erykah Badu drag, but I was like, no.
No.
I'm good.
You're like, I'm going to Erykah Badu.
But this is what I tell people about drag. It doesn't necessarily have to be female or even like you're impersonating a celebrity.
Yeah.
Drag is about learning how to incorporate culture into your own style and sensibility.
But I think I do that.
And you're doing it.
In my shows, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? As a performer, I even though I'm not doing drag or anything like that, but I'll be honest, I've been inspired by more female artists than male artists, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I feel like I pay homage to a lot of the female artists that I've grew up on, like Badu or NDIRE, Jill Scott, Spice Girls, and even though she was my favorite Spice Girl, actually.
Is she your favorite?
Not because she was black, and I want people to think that that's what it is.
She definitely is one of the more
but she was outside. More to me when I saw Scary Spice, it was just she was fearless. Mm. She was like, here I am, bam. She was gorgeous, the hair, everything, the tongue piercing, like it's just everything that she had. I was just, you know what I mean. I was so attracted to Mel B. I mean, then because she was black, I mean, maybe that was a plus, but it wasn't.
Remember
like
when tongue piercing was a big deal?
It was a big deal. Let me tell you, I used to want my tongue pierced.
Did you get it?
No. I'm a chicken. Before Mel B, it was Malcolm Jamal Warner. Or Theo, from the Cosby Show.
He got his tongue pierced.
He had his tongue pierced, and I was
on the Cosby Show.
Not on the Cosby Show.
No. The actor.
I feel like this sounds familiar. Like,
yeah, not on the Cosby Show. But I think when he did another show called Malcolm and Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had his tongue pierced for that. And I like when I saw that, I was like, because I was, you know what I mean, I was a fan of Theo. You know what I mean? Like sidetracking. The Cosby Show was just like one of the most influential shows for me. I mean, regardless of what Bill Cosby is going through right now and all of this, but the Cosby Show was still one of the most influential shows for me. And Theo was like, okay, wow. Like, I was really inspired by him. So when I saw his tongue pierced, I was like, I want my tongue pierced. And then when I saw Scary Spice, I was like, I want my tongue pierced. You know what I mean? But I was like,
and
I
did you go
did
get it?
It?
Did you make plans?
Let me say, I didn't even make plans. The only thing I did was I got my ears pierced. I got like a second hole. That was like the most outrageous thing I did, was I get my second holes pierced, and I don't even have those anymore.
I know a lot of people that got their tongue pierced and then they eventually took it out because they were like, it was bothering them.
I heard some of your horror stories though.
You know, and they're just like, oh,
they're like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. My friends that did have it pierced, they was like, you know, you can't eat anything hot. You can't, you know, really drink cold, anything cold. So I was like, I'm good.
My younger sister got her tongue pierced once.
Yeah.
And it made my mother cry.
Aww.
She was like, what have I done wrong as a parent that makes you feel like you need to get tattoos?
Yeah.
My younger sister loved upsetting my mother so much, she did it twice.
Wow.
And then she had complications because her tongue swelled up.
Swell up, yeah. And I was like, I can't deal with that.
Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing, girl?
And as a singer, I just can't afford to have my tongue swell up.
You know, but you know why a young lesbian woman would want to
get a tongue pierced? Of course. You know why a young male would want it pierced.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking.
Do you guys remember Memories Pizza? It kind of was a big deal.
I forgot about the campaign.
In Indiana, there was the home of Mike Pence, right? They had a pizza
chain. Our vice president.
And they had somebody from ABC went in there and asked them if a gay couple came in and wanted us to provide pizzas for the wedding, we would have to say no. You know, because they asked them like, would you serve gay customers? And they're like, no, we wouldn't serve.
Wow.
Wouldn't serve pizzas for gay weddings, and so people kind of became outraged. There was a bunch of Yelp reviews.
Who orders pizza to a wedding?
A lot of people do. They don't necessarily have it for their first meal, but you know they have it as the second,
because the party's going on.
So you want at the end of the party.
You want a little, you know, a little snack.
You want a little crime.
They would not serve the pizza Chicago style. I'm just kidding.
But what?
The grid kind of.
Tavern cut is what they call it.
That's a huge controversy.
Yeah.
In Chicago. For people who don't live here who are listening to the show.
Because we don't always. Pizza doesn't always come in slices. It sometimes
in triangles.
It comes in little squares because they do a tavern cut because they used to, like, people would come into a bar and there'd be pizza sitting on the thing.
I love the square cut more than the triangle square.
Oh, no. Cut. Get out of here.
Fausto cries. Like, we order a pizza and it's like, and if I don't remember it to remind him to have it like a pie slice, he's like, he comes out and he's just like, he's so disappointed.
This pizza is ruined.
No.
Yeah, no crust.
So anyways, Memories did like a Glenn Beck set up a GoFundMe for them because they wanted to support this pizza place in their time of need. And so 30,000 donors donated a total of $850,000.
Almost a million.
Yeah.
Shit.
So almost $1 million for these bigots.
Just for the record, I also will not serve pizza to a gay couple. In fact, when Mark and I order pizza, we have to eat it separately. So if anybody wants to send some money my way,
this is Foster's GoFundMe.
Yes.
So they've closed. They're gone, and nobody knows what happened. I think the people they're like, well, we got all this money.
Yeah.
Let's just close up shop and move on, because it's like, you know, maybe they regret their decision, or they're just tired of stewing in their own oregano scented hate.
Definitely.
They're dirt bags, you know. Take your $1 million and go fulfill your dreams. Maybe that's just the thing. Like, a lot of these, you know, hate mongers are just pissed off because they're broke.
Yeah. That's what it is.
That's part of it. Yeah, but, you know, they just did a study the New York Times reported on it and saying, like, people weren't really interested in Trump because of, like, economics. You know, they weren't thinking, like, oh, we'll make more money, that kind of stuff. They were just worried about losing their place in society, that it's getting usurped by, you know, people of color and, you know, Muslims are coming in and just ruining things for white folks.
Yeah. I mean, as a black man, it's just... I'll be totally honest with you. Like, we don't see any effect. Like, we don't see any difference in having Trump as a president.
Than having Obama.
You know what I mean? Like, our struggle is still the same struggle. We're still going to deal with the same things. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, so that's funny to me when, you know, I hear my white brothers or my Asian brothers, you know, or sisters, you know, just talk about it. You
don't
know
forget
I mean?
About but, the Puerto Ricans.
Or, well, you know, I mean, I feel like, honestly, I feel like, you know, Latinos and blacks, like, we're in that same vein. You know what I mean? I'll just be honest with you. I feel like we're in that same vein. But I just feel, you know what I mean? I just feel like, you know what I mean? Like,
nothing it doesn't change. Change.
The nothing day-to-day has changed. Nothing struggle. Has changed
for
us.
Like, do you feel more comfortable that it's more out in the open now that we're seeing like these basically Klan rallies again?
I'm
we
shocked.
We haven't seen them for a while.
I'm shocked. I never. Mm-hmm. Let me say, when growing up, race was never a thing for me. I knew I was black, and I knew I was always proud to be mm-hmm. black, and I knew my culture, and I knew my importance and my history. But I never was like. That person is racist. I've never that never even crossed my mind.
You also grew up in a very black community, though, too. Didn't
but
you?
But living wise, mm-hmm. I grew up in a black community. Mm-hmm. But educational wise, I went like I said, I went to Walt Disney, and Walt Disney is a magnet school on the north side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. The one by on the lake?
Yes.
Oh.
Marine Drive.
Because mm-hmm. you grew up, for people that don't know, in the Austin neighborhood. Because Chicago has, like, the north side, mm-hmm. the south side, mm-hmm. and the east side's the lake.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's the west side yeah. in Austin.
In the west side, yeah.
How long did it take you to go to school?
How long did it take me to go to school?
Yeah, when you were a kid.
I was bussed. I didn't know.
Probably an hour.
Probably an hour, 45 minutes, an hour. And then when I went to high school, I went to Sin High School, which was on the north side. So I've always...
That's right over here.
Right.
I take my dog over there. Right. Place in the dog park.
So I've always been...
Wait a minute. So what year were you in high school there?
03 to 07.
So we were... You were our neighbor before. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I've always been a...
Did you smoke pot in this gangway right over here?
I did.
I'll show it to you, because every September, yes. there's always kids that come and hang yes. out here. And they hang out for September, October. Yeah. By November, they're gone.
Yes.
Because they've been shushed away.
September, I was a nerd. I was a nerd in high school. I didn't do none of that. But like I said, I just feel like I've always grew up in multicultural environments. My church is multicultural. You know what I mean? So I've always grew up with blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asians, just everybody. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, the biggest thing for me and the biggest culture shock was when I went to college. I went to an all-black school. I went to HBCU.
What's that?
HBCU?
Yeah.
Historically black college. And I went to Grambling State University.
So it's like Morehouse, but in Chicago.
Like a Morehouse.
Where's yeah. that at?
In Louisiana. I went to school in Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
So that was like the biggest culture. And you would think it would be reversed. You would think that as a black man going to a mixed school, mm-hmm. it would be like, oh my God. But like going to an all black school, it was like, okay, hold
what
up.
You're dealing with people from like the deep south.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. it's like I'm used to Asians and whites and Hispanics and... Indians. I'm used to
everybody. People from a wide variety of backgrounds.
You get what I'm saying? So yeah, you know what I mean. So doing that.
Do you feel like it was more difficult for you? Did you feel like it was more challenging for you to be in a homogenous environment like that?
I feel like the first few months it was, because it was just like, you know, I just.
But was there something was positive different. About that?
Oh, of course,
for you?
Of course.
What was the gay scene like at an all black college?
In the South?
Was there a gay scene? Did you guys have a gay group or anything?
It was a gay scene. It was a gay scene. It was gay groups. But it was, I mean, keep in mind, you're in a Bible Belt. Mm-hmm. You're in the South. You're in Louisiana. Yeah. So a lot of the people that had these feelings were very,
closeted. Yeah.
Closeted and masked. I mean, and the people that were out and about, you know what I mean? They were kind of shunned on.
Were you out then?
I've never been the type to be like, bam, bitch, like, here I am. Like, here I am. But my
His
thing
arms
is,
just went up in the air.
Right.
Like, I'm fabulous.
But I've never been the type to be like, oh, yeah, like fuck them fags, fuck them gay. You know what I mean? I've never mm-hmm. been that type of person. I've just been who I am. Mm-hmm. If you ask me, you know, what mm-hmm. I prefer, I'll tell you what I prefer. But I've never been the type to be, I've never been flamboyant. Flamboyant to the fact where I'm just like, switching sure. down. You know what I mean?
Tongue popped very easily, yeah. I gotta say.
Or yes, girl. I've never just been that type. I've always been, but I've never tried to hide who I was. You know what I mean? I've never tried to be like, okay, that's not me. But I'm just, I'm just me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've just never been that type of person to be super flamboyant or downplay, you know, gay people. You know what I mean? So
they've done a study in the American Sociological Association that looked at why so many people support Donald Trump, even though he's told so many lies. Mm-hmm. Unlike other politicians who usually do subjective lies, Trump's lies are easily verifiable. The number of people that showed up to his inauguration, for example. And the study revealed that most of his supporters admit and agree that the president blatantly lies and don't agree with his statements. However, they think of him as an authentic person because of it.
I agree.
That's what Shania Twain was trying to say when she got...
Yeah, I think that's one thing that people love about Trump. Listen, I don't like to get into politics and all that stuff because, I mean, it is what it is. But I think that why people are attracted to Trump is his honesty. People love honesty. I mean, maybe not honesty, but just his bluntness and saying his, like, this is what it is. This is how I feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the people, they don't do that. A lot of the ex-president, they didn't do that. They tried to sugarcoat it and kind of make it so it's like, okay, to be PC. But with Trump, he's just like, this is how I feel.
And it's interesting that he doesn't have a good poker face, right? And so with the situation with Russia, he's really, really bad at pretending like there's nothing wrong there, you know? He's like acting like somebody who's being caught doing something treasonous.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And certainly we're going to most likely see if people vote aggressively Democratic in November, this election, we most likely will see Trump be removed from office.
I think so. I definitely think that he's not going to do a second term. What I will say is I watched one of his documentaries on Netflix. It just came out, and I was really it's a three-part documentary, and I was really intrigued to kind of just see his journey to being a president and like just his upbringing and all of this stuff. And it's just like,
he really struggled a lot throughout his life.
He did. And honestly, and I had,
how did I fuck the Trump struggle?
I had so much sympathy.
Yeah. Sympathy for Trump.
After watching a documentary. And I was just like, this man is not who he's portraying to be. Trump is not who he's portraying to be. Trump is, I think he's very, he's more sensitive than what he's portraying to be, just by watching a documentary, just how he grew up. You know what I mean? It's just like his father stood for morals and values. And I feel like Trump still has those values. But I feel like once Trump became not even, because no, he used to be in like real estate. Once he failed in that and he became more of just a public persona and really a celebrity, with doing like like he at one point he was doing McDonald's commercials,
he was in steak commercials,
and you know what I mean. Like he wasn't even, people didn't think of Trump as being a real estate, you know, mogul.
They thought that's why all these racist right winger politicians, like the guy who ran Breitbart, he was a frustrated Hollywood producer and actor, writer, you know, and the same goes for Trump. Like these are people who try to make it in show, but they say Hollywood is, you know, show business for ugly people.
Yeah. 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 For real.
And, you know, I definitely feel that way. On a lighter note, they've discovered, or I guess scientists have made a big announcement about the planet Uranus.
Uranus.
That it stinks like farts.
Oh, Uranus.
Uranus really does stink. With hydrogen sulfide gas, the same stuff that makes your fart stinky, the upper atmosphere of Uranus is exactly composed of the same thing.
And rotten eggs smell like that, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you ever actually smelled rotten eggs?
Oh, yes.
Oh, they're terrible. We had a duck lay eggs in our back lawn, and they abandoned it, and so we just went to, like, bury them.
Yeah.
And they cracked, or, you know, so we went to throw them out, and they were cracked as they throw it.
Wow.
And it was just, like, a bomb had gone off, and I ran to the store, which is like two blocks away, to get some bleach to pour into the garbage.
Yeah,
so we got bleach to get rid of that smell, and I could smell it. two blocks away. It was insane how much this thing smelled. Wow. So if you ever want to disrupt a crowd, you know, if you're Tyra Sanchez and you want to go to DragCon, you take a rotten egg with you and just drop it somewhere. And they'll tell
They sell those vials.
Of rotten egg?
Yeah, like of hydrogen sulfide that you can go in. In fact, I was in a club one time when somebody broke the vial, and everybody had to be evacuated out of the club.
Okay.
And it's something you, if you do that, you'll get arrested. You will go to jail for that.
And
you know, it's dangerous, and it's, you know, people stampede. They don't know what's going on. So, you know, it's like,
of course,
I am worried about the DragCon situation. And, you know, I hope that people resolve their differences in a peaceful manner.
Right.
I don't want to see, you know, people get hurt. Oh, God. It's like, you know, because there's a lot of kids that go to that.
Yeah.
It's like Disney World, but with, you know, uglier characters.
Yeah. like it's sometimes, like, it's not that serious. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that, you know, how you feel about somebody is not valid, but sometimes it's not that serious to be physical and be violent. Yeah. Like, it's not that serious.
What are you looking forward in the coming weeks for yourself?
Really just getting this album completed and done and kind of.
Are you working alone? Or are you working with a group of people?
Oh, I have a full band. So my name of my band is called the Earth Tones. So I'm Earth St. James and the Earth Tones.
Oh.
So the Earth Tones.
It's out of this world.
Yes.
Actually, it's not. Yeah. Technically,
I mean, it's
very grounded.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Very grassroots, anyway. But we're working on the album, and we had a session last night. We have a few more sessions coming up. We have a few shows coming up.
Oh, great!
May 5th, we're at Cinco de Mayo. We're at the California Clipper, 102 North California, 10:30 p.m. We do two sets, so I got that coming up. I do background for this wonderful artist named Sam Trump. We have a show tomorrow. So, I mean, I got a few
things. No relation to Donald?
No. And, you know, and it's funny. He says that when we're on stage, he says, my name is Sam Trump. Trump as in trumpet and not Donald. That's his catchphrase, his line. So, yes, yeah, so no relations to Donald Trump.
If people can want to learn more about you, they can visit.
They can visit. You can Google me at Earth St. James, which is ERTHESTJAMES.
With a pound symbol for the E.
Well, I mean, well, if you just type it in, just type it with the regular E.
Mm-hmm. We'll put up a link to your to your band camp.
But I'm on Twitter, SoundCloud. Facebook, Instagram. Now, I will say I did delete Facebook and Instagram off my phone. I needed a social media detox, so I don't have it on my phone.
I'm going to be doing one of those
shortly. Yeah, I don't have it on my phone, and I feel so much better. But if you do follow me, if you do send me a message, I definitely will. You know, I definitely check it through my computer. I go online and, like, you know, and check it. But as far as, like, having an app on my phone, I don't have
Snapchat.
I'm not on Snapchat.
Scruff, Grindr, Christian Mingles.
I am not on Grindr. I'm not on Tumblr. I'm not on all the other stuff.
How are you getting into social activities?
I'm telling you, I'm old fashioned. Like,
you're a people person.
I like to meet people in the flesh. I like to actually touch and see who you are. Like, I'm
the same way.
You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to dating, I don't like the social. I don't like the apps.
Anytime we've ever done, like, a meet and greet or where there's like 100 or 200, 300 people, I'm like, bring it on, babe.
Yeah.
It's always the other people that I'm with. They're like, is this going to take on a lot longer and stuff like that? I'm like, I don't care.
I love meeting people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like when you're online and trying to meet somebody, you never know. Because people have all these type of personas and facades online. But when you're actually at a bar or at dinner and you're actually looking at that person in their face, you get their emotions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm just, you know what I mean? Even though I'm young, I still feel like I'm old school when it comes to meeting people and interacting with people. And, like, I hate texting as well, too. Like, I'd rather just call you and be like, hey, I'm on my way. Cool, bam.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and
thank you for having me. I've had a blast. Thank
I absolutely you. Love your personality, and I love your music, and I'm looking forward to hearing the album.
Yes.
It's a pleasure.
If you let me come back, I'll be back.
I'd love to have you back.
When are you coming? I'll come back in a couple weeks, girl.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when I get, like, one or two tracks
you can come back every day.
When I get one or two tracks, like, kind of just mastered and mixed, I'll come back.
We'll rename the podcast. Feast of Fun is Down to Earth.
Yes.
I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com. /plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. Again, that's feastoffun.com/plus.
And we have fabulous t-shirts for sale on our store, feastoffun.com/store. Honey, we accept American Express, PayPal, Dutch marks, dollars,
Bitcoin.
We actually do accept Bitcoin, but you have to email us for the Bitcoin token.
Yes.
And we'll send it to you, and then you can pay us in Bitcoin. You can even use jugs of Tide.
Yes.
You know that is a currency among drug dealers.
Really? Jugs of Tide?
Jugs of Tide.
I mean, yeah, clean clothes.
Because they're hard to move around.
Yes.
And so they're desirable to have laundry detergent.
Yes.
So big, giant things of laundry detergent.
I will love that. Pay me in Tide.
I will. If you want to pay me.
Pay me in Tide.
Duran, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Faf. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Bye.